Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, that the kingdom of God is being opened in our inward parts, that it's being opened amongst us. The kingdom of God is our inheritance and our possession in the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God has been opened to us in the implanting of the seed of Christ into our hearts. And there is a humongous reality of your blessings. There's a humongous reality of your covenant that is meant to be revealed to us so that we will live, move, and have our being in you, inheriting the many facets of the promises that you have given us in kingdom realities, Lord. We are sons of God. We are meant to understand that. We are meant to realize that. We are meant to walk into it, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you will open our hearts to understand your word, to accept your word, to receive your word in the spirit and life of Jesus, that your word will be established in us in the faith of Jesus, that your word will be brought to fulfillment in us in the love of Jesus, that your word will find meaning and expression in us in the character and nature of Jesus Christ, so that when your word is brought to fulfillment in us, we will be presented before you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So that we can stand as sons of the living God. Each one of us uniquely created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the Most High God. That we may walk into the works that you have ordained in our lives, Father. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, the parable of the sower. And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, verse 5, he says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So those realities have been opened to us. And so, it has been granted to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The kingdom of heaven is about fruitfulness, sustained fruitfulness. Sustained fruitfulness in all eternity. Sustained fruitfulness because we are the workmanship of God being created in Christ Jesus and being brought forth by the Holy Spirit so that we will stand blessed in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing that God has ordained in each and every one of our lives. We are a blessed people. So how does God unveil these mysteries? Out of the seed of the word. The essential seed of the word is called the seed of Christ. And today we want to talk about the word of Christ. The word of Christ. Last week we talked about the word of his grace. Today we want to talk about the word of Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. The word of Christ. Christ is God's revelation of the mystery. Christ is the mystery of all that God has hidden as his highest and purest and most perfect form of blessing. most perfect form of blessing. That's what it reads in the King James Version of the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Richly in you in all wisdom. So some background to what the word of Christ is designed to do for you. The word of Christ is designed to reveal the mystery of Christ. All right, let's turn to Ephesians first. We have done teaching on this. I just want to go back to it. As you hear more and more of the Word of God, you will begin to understand that God's plan and purpose is a creative work within you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul writes about something called the mystery. You see that those words there. Just those two words, the mystery. He was just saying that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. There's something called the mystery. In verse 4 he says, when you read you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. The word of Christ is designed to communicate to you the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Verse 8. The last line reads, the unfathomable riches of Christ. Unfathomable to the mind of man. But entirely something to be revealed as the wealth of God's heart. The riches of Christ. So the word of Christ carries the riches of Christ, the wealth that God has for us in Christ Jesus. When we talk about prosperity, the Bible is all about prosperity, but it is not prosperity based on the love of money. When God talks wealth, he's talking about the wealth that is of the riches of Christ. The wealth that will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The wealth that will enable you to stand in a position in God and do all things in the name of Jesus. To ask anything in the name of Jesus and it will be given to you and it will be done for you. That is wealth. That you will be the head and not the tail. Because Jesus Christ is King in your heart. Because Jesus Christ is the beloved of your heart. Because he is reigning King. All that stands in his name as rights bestowed in the name of Jesus unto his sons will be manifested through us, through all that we become, through all that we do in thought, word, and in deed. This is what God calls wealth. The wealth that will enable you to live forever. The wealth that will enable you to be a growing blessing forever. The wealth that will enable you to unveil as a morning star in the heavenly places. The wealth that will enable you to be blessed with every spiritual blessing. So the word of Christ is designed to give you the wealth of God. The wealth of God. The unfathomable riches of Christ. That means they cannot be intellectually discerned. They have to be entirely revealed. They have to be entirely revealed into your inward parts. Verse 9, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. The angels have been around for millions of years. Yet God is bringing forth a revelation through people like you and me. A revelation that is unveiled in Christ Jesus. A revelation that is to be manifested in our lives. A revelation that has been hidden in the heart of God from the foundations of the universe that he has created. In the New King James Bible, it talks about a fellowship. A fellowship and administration suitable to the fullness of the times. And the fullness of the times are tied to people like you and me. Can you believe that? That's what the scripture is telling you. We who are in the context of the world that we live in, entirely insignificant. God is saying that in Jesus Christ, and only because of Jesus Christ, if you are willing to cling and hold on to what God has given you in Jesus Christ, then the fullness of the times have got meaning in your life. That you are part of God's revelation of the fullness of the times, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That you are part of this awesome plan of God to reveal the glory of His grace in all that is tied to the name of Jesus Christ. You listening? This is what the word of Christ is designed to manifest within you. Obviously, God is talking about a creative work. A creative work that is entirely conformed to Christ. So Galatians 4:19, right? Paul writes, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you, right? Galatians 4:19, right? My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Right? Because everything that God has for us is based on Christ being formed in us. The word of Christ is designed to bring you into a position so that God can bless you. And this you must understand very clearly. God can only bless you in conformance to Christ. If God doesn't bless you and me in conformance to Christ, we will only turn out to be anointed snakes. Whether the Pentecostal version or some other version doesn't really matter. Whether the Pentecostal version or the Lutheran version or the Baptist version or whatever version. It's very important for us to understand that. It doesn't come because of our denomination. It doesn't come because our doctrines are wonderful. It comes only through conformance to Christ Jesus. He is God's blueprint for the fullness of the times. And the meaning of the fullness of the times is embedded in this reality of something called the Word of Christ. So you need to understand this whole book in the context of the Word of Christ, otherwise it will never be fulfilled in your life. And nothing in this book will come into fulfillment in your life unless it is in and by and through Christ being formed in you. But in Christ being formed in you, every conceivable blessing in this book is open to your life personally. That is what the word of Christ is all about. It is not based on how hard you can pray out of your sheer willpower. It is based on whether you can pray in the strength of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is what God's looking for. What you can do through Christ rather than what you can do out of your own strength. Because what you do through Christ who strengthens you is God's workmanship in your life. And it's a perfect work, and it stands in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It stands as the righteousness of God. That's why Isaiah says that our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Our righteousnesses will never achieve the righteousness of God. And we need to remember that and understand that. That in the word of Christ, God brings prosperity into us. Prosperity in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. Prosperity in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Prosperity in the witness and testimony of Jesus. Prosperity in the mind of Christ. Prosperity in the heart of flesh that is of the substance of Christ's fullness. Are you with me? The word of Christ is the means by which God communicates Christ into you and me. And everything expressed in this book can be understood through the word of Christ, whether in the New Testament or whether it's in the Old Testament. This book was written to reveal Jesus Christ. And if this book doesn't reveal Jesus Christ, it has got no meaning to you and me. When God said, let there be light, he was talking about Christ. Let me show you what that means. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let there be light, and there was light. For verse 6 says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You see the name Jesus added in the New King James or the Old King James Bible. All right. So the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, that's what really, what light is ultimately all about. God is not just simply talking about physical light. He's talking about the light that will manifest the universe. The light that will enable us to become living lights before God, morning stars before God. And the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus is designed for your heart and my heart. And that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus is communicated into your heart and my heart exclusively in the word of Christ. It is not communicated to you theologically. It is not communicated to you intellectually. It is not communicated to you through the understanding of your mind. It is entirely a revelation. The word must become light inside of you. What happens when this takes place? Talking about prosperity, guys. But we have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. The Greek word for power there is dunamis, the power that comes through the cross. So Christ crucified, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, is the power of God. The word of the cross, or the message of the cross, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, but the Greek word for message or word there is logos. The word of the cross is the power of God. And the power of God comes to you in Christ revealed into your heart and my heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is what the church is charged with realizing. Not to demonstrate how anointed we are. Who wants to see that? Who is going to be saved by you and me? Don't get me wrong. When Christ comes inside of you, Christ means the anointed one. But if the anointing does not demonstrate Christ Jesus, that anointing is worth nothing. No matter how impressive it may look. No matter how gifted we may appear to be, it is a total irrelevance without Jesus Christ. It has got no meaning in the plan of God. Absolutely none. No matter how many people come after us, it's got absolutely no relevance. That's why we need to understand all things in the word of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Praise the Lord. Talking about wealth, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to look at verse 2 and 3. I'm first going to read it out of the New American Standard, and then I'm going to read it out of the Old King James Bible. All right. In the middle of verse 2, there is this phrase that says, attaining to all the wealth. Attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. If you have a King James Bible, it says this, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. All right? But you need to understand that if you don't see Christ, you cannot see the Father. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. All right? So that mystery is meant to be a revelation of Christ, which in turn will enable you to know God as your eternal Father. That's what the prophet announced. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government rests upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. So it is through the revelation of the Son, who is God's gift to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how God approaches the world. That's how God approaches destiny for the human race. That's how God presents destiny for the human race. That's how God gives anointings. That's how God gives giftings. In and out of Christ Jesus. All right. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. From God's perspective, what God considers to be wealth. See, God considers wisdom and knowledge to be wealth, not things. And this wisdom and knowledge, this wealth, is designed for your heart and my heart. Isn't that amazing? One day we can travel in the omnipresence of God at the speed of light, faster than the speed of light, by thought. Why? Because we are hooked on to God in the name of Jesus Christ. That's wealth. That we can ask for anything and it will be done for us, it will be given to us. It is not God playing Santa Claus, but God manifesting Himself through us as His vessels. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus has shone in our hearts so that we can manifest that light into actual realities of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Isn't that powerful, guys? Isn't that powerful? Amen. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. What is God talking about? Jesus Christ. When you understand that in the word of Christ, then you understand how that house is going to be built, because you are that house. You are part of that house. The bigger, the ultimate frame of this house will bless the universe one day. That's why when God took Father Abraham out, he says your descendants will be like the stars. And without those stars and the light that shines out of those stars, there will be no life in the universe. Cannot come forth. But God was showing something prophetically, symbolically. That light is not meant to be manifested from planets. That light is meant to be manifested from morning stars, the sons of the living God. That you and I are called to be through the word of Christ being performed in your life and my life. Isn't that something else? Who the dickens are we? With creaking bodies and... So many things seem to have passed us by. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome if you can hear this word and accept it. It's awesome if you can understand this word. You may not know how it's going to come about. That's not important. But what you need to know is this is what God wants to do with you. And to enter into this reality is to set your hope on Christ. That's all. Very simple. You don't have to be a Nobel Prize winning scientist to understand what God is going to do. All you have to do is set your hope on Christ. And God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I will manifest the mind of Christ within you. And in Christ Jesus, nothing will be impossible to you. That's why he talks about the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, 10, 11. The angel takes John and he says, come see the bride of the Lamb. And it's written there, the bride of the Lamb having the glory of God. Listen to the words. The bride of the Lamb having the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, in the face of Christ Jesus has shone in your hearts. When Jesus went to the cross, John 17 verse 22, he says, Father, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Awesome words, powerful words. Words beyond anything we can do of ourselves. God is talking about himself, what he can do with you and me. We have lived our lives without God. We have done things in our own strength, and we have all seen them pass away. Doesn't matter whether you are rich or whether you are poor. Doesn't matter whether you are super educated or you're not educated. It's the same thing. Doesn't matter whether you're super talented or you're untalented. It's the same story. But God is reversing the curse. The word of Christ is designed to bring wealth in your heart. Not the cheap wealth of cars that look nice today and in 10 years' time they become a rusted junk. Not nice houses that you have to keep on refurbishing in order that it looks presentable. But a house that is the construct of God. A house that will be filled, right, with all the riches, precious and pleasant riches by knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. By understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By wisdom the house is built. So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6 says, you are the house of Christ. God is building that house, and that house is designed for wealth. The wealth that does not disappear. The wealth that is abiding. The wealth that continues to grow. The wealth that will establish you in a position where you will be the head and not the tail. The wealth that will enable you to be blessed in every situation and circumstance into which God takes you. Powerful. The word of Christ is designed for that. All this is part of the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to God. It is his kingdom. That kingdom is all about him. It's about what he is able to do. It is not about what the creature can do. It is about what the creature can discover in God. what the creature can discover for himself of the God who is his God. That you will have the wisdom of the living God working through you. You will have the power of the living God working through you. That you will know how to live in the presence of the living God who is present everywhere at the same time. I believe one day we will pass through space and time, even backwards into time, because God's presence is eternal, from ever to ever. Yes. You think what? God's omnipresence and God's omniscience is just blooming theology. God is that. He will always be that. We are his children. We are called and we are designed to know him. And as we come to know him, we will come to love him, because we will see awesome realities in him. And the word of Christ is designed to bring us into that position. Christ is the blueprint of the Son. So that God could have sons who will be after his own heart. And nothing will be impossible to us. Colossians chapter 1. Paul says here in verse 25. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Listen to his words, that I may fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And what is the preaching of the word of God? That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the word of Christ is given to you, and you open the word of Christ to discover the mystery of Christ, which is the very heart of the word of God, by setting your hope on the mystery, which is Christ himself. Not a difficult word, hope. Not a difficult word, hope, but that word, hope, is designed for Christ. That's what you must understand. In a real way, for you to discover the way, that hope must be always fixed on Christ, no matter what the situations and circumstances of your life are. And the word of Christ will open to you, and the way will open to you. It will open to your heart, and you will know it. Out of hope comes faith, because faith is the substance of hope. That substance of hope, God has designed to be the substance of Christ. So that your faith will be the evidence of all that God has ordained in Christ Jesus. Can you catch that? And if you can receive of the substance of Christ, and Christ is a person, guys. The anointing comes with a person. Christ is formed in you. It's about something of that person being formed in you. Not merely an anointing. Not merely an anointing. But Christ being formed in you, and Christ being formed in you comes with a character and a nature that will handle that anointing the way it should be handled. So that we will not become like Lucifer, anointed snakes. And we all have the potential of becoming anointed snakes. Hello. It comes with a territory in each one of our hearts. No exceptions. And so the Lord is talking to us. He's talking to us in very clear terms. The way only opens in Jesus Christ. It won't come any other way. You can stand on your head, you can memorize the whole scriptures. That's why he told the Jews, you search the scriptures, but you refuse to come to me. I am the scripture. The scriptures are meant to be expounded in and by and through me. Without me, the scripture has got no meaning. Because in me, God works. Without me, God does not work. And if God makes demands on you and me by basis of law, you and I will die. Because you will find that you will only see your abilities. And if you are an unhappy Christian, it is only for one reason, because all you have found in your Christian faith is yourself. And you and I are never going to save ourselves, brother. The way, the truth, and the life opens only in Christ Jesus. It is the truth that will set you free. And the truth that will set you free comes out in a lifestyle lived. And Jesus is that life. The word of Christ is designed to open to you that life through Christ who strengthens you. That life is the discovery of Christ, so that you can stand to receive and realize every good thing bestowed. Let there be light. Let there be light. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So how is that light going to manifest? We are the lights. Our Father is the Father of lights. So how do we become lights bestowed with every good thing, bestowed with every perfect gift? All of that is given to us as light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of yourself and myself. Aren't you tired of finding out what you can do? For every little thing that you can do, do you realize there are so many things you cannot do? That's the story of our life, and God is telling us, will you not learn something from that? That there is no life in you. That what you can live is a very small, insignificant reality. And as you grow older, that insignificance decreases. What's God trying to teach us? That life does not come from the brilliance of the creature. God is light, and there is no other light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. So the word of Christ is meant to manifest light. The light that is in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. Awesome, isn't it? But he's not talking about intellectual knowledge. He's talking about revelation knowledge. The knowledge that comes entirely from God. The knowledge that is developed entirely by God. The knowledge that is entirely sustained by God. The knowledge that has got nothing to do with your inherent intelligence or my inherent intelligence. It has got entirely everything to do with the exclusive brilliance of God and God alone. So that nobody will boast except in the Lord their God. This is what we must learn and understand. That if we really have understood the word of God, then there will be one response to that word. I boast in my God because he is great. And there's nothing else to boast about. If we keep on bragging about how anointed we are and how super anointed we are, come to me so that I can lay hands and pray for you and you will be anointed and blessed. What junk is that? How long do you want to hear gurus come to you in all kinds of fashions and forms? Aren't you sick and tired of it all? What's wrong with Jesus Christ, guys? What more do you want than Jesus Christ? Who else will lay himself down for you and me? We are not worth it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So what have we done with him? What have we done with him? So much of Christianity is the face of man. And God himself has chosen to express himself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. God himself, the creator of the universe, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, has chosen to express himself in the face of Jesus Christ. And we, the Christian church, have found other answers. How stupid we are. How incredibly stupid we are. What do we lead? How can there be an apostolic move when Jesus Christ is not preeminent? Because the writings of the apostles all talk about his greatness. Praise the Lord. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's what the word of Christ is meant to bring into your life. So when you pray in tongues, what are you designed to do? Enter into the mystery of Christ. Not enter into how you can operate the anointing spectacularly so that everybody can take notice of how much and how wonderfully the word of knowledge comes through you. Who is going to be saved by you and me, brother? Tongues are designed to reveal Jesus Christ. But so many tongue-talking people don't look anything like Jesus Christ. No wonder the rest of the church has discarded it. Because they can't see Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. There are many different kinds of mysteries in the Bible. There is the mystery of his will. There is the mystery of faith. There is the mystery of godliness. There is the mystery of the gospel. There is the mystery of Christ. There are the mysteries of God. Those are the good things. But there is also something called the mystery of lawlessness. And you can use tongues to go into the mystery of lawlessness too. That's why when John talks about the Antichrist, he says they came out from amongst us. They came out from amongst us. Lucifer was anointed by God, by nobody else but God. Lucifer was gifted by God, by nobody else but God. Lucifer had a great prophetic call. Star of the morning, son of the dawn. And he managed to kill it all. He managed to take all of that blessing and make it a curse. A growing curse that brings death and destruction to generation after generation after generation. Billions have lost their lives to that curse. Now you and I are charged to reverse that curse. And we need to understand this. We can only reverse it in the name of Jesus Christ and by no other name. That is our duty. Whether you are small or whether you are standing in front of me. It does not matter whether you stand behind a pulpit or whether you stand in your prayer closet, a housewife. It is what you do with Christ in you that God counts. Because the seed of Christ is indestructible, brother. The word of Christ that will nurture that seed into a tree of life is indestructible. And everything that is brought out of the word of Christ is indestructible. The devil doesn't count for anything. It is because we are in the flesh that the devil is able to hit us. But if we were in Christ, he is powerless because he has been crushed under the feet of Jesus Christ. Because the principalities, the powers, the mights, the dominions have been disarmed in the cross of Jesus. It is written in the Word of God. So why are we being impacted so strongly? Simply because we are not in Christ. We have other agendas. We have other thought processes. We have highways in the Spirit opening into us that have got nothing to do with the testimony of Jesus. That's why. And so you need to understand that the word of Christ that God has the intent of manifesting to you is vital to your destiny. We can talk about grace, we can talk about power, but if it's not in Christ, it ain't gonna work. If it does not bring the witness and the testimony of Jesus in you, there is going to be nothing of the prophetic manifested. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise the Lord. The word of Christ, designed to reveal the mystery of Christ, so that you can stand to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. How can you open this word of God and tap into the word of Christ? How can you open this word of God and understand it through the word of Christ? Use your tongues. Use the tongues that God has given you. Use the tongues with a total focus on Jesus Christ and nothing else. Use the tongues and open your giftings in the name of Jesus Christ and by no other name. Use your tongues to open your giftings and glorify no other name but the name of Jesus. Doesn't he deserve it? How can you pay the price, brethren, to stand in the heavenly places? Tell me how you're going to do that. What is it that is inherent to you that will enable you to pray such a price? Yet so many frontline Christian teachers talk about praying the price. Paying the price for what? to sit in the heavenly places, to be blessed with every spiritual blessing. You and I don't even have the capacity to understand that, guys. We don't even have the capacity to understand what the meaning of the word good is. How, what price are you paying? He has paid the price. That is false teaching. Why are you so impressed with what man can do? You mean the guy is praying 16 hours a day out of his own strength? Fiddlesticks. He's praying 16 hours a day because he's enabled in the Spirit of Christ. That's all. So what price did he pay for the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ was given through the cross. The word of Christ comes to us through the cross. So how can you pay the price for it? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Very powerful. Firstborn of all creation. Now James chapter 1 verse 18 talks about us as being a kind of first fruits of the creation. And that is because Christ Jesus has been given to us as an inheritance and as a possession to each one of us. Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 28. For by him all things were created. So you and I are created in Christ Jesus for the good works that the Father has ordained in our lives. It is written, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So here it is saying, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. So how did God create all these things? So how does God intend to ultimately bring all this creation into sovereign purpose, his sovereign purpose, through the word of Christ? And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the prerequisite, and only because of him, and only in him and by him will it ultimately make sense, guys. Only in Christ Jesus will you come to make sense even to your own self. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So if he is the firstborn from the dead, how did you manage to pay the price? That teaching has to be put to death. Because it's reducing us to the mediocrity of man. We are reducing ourselves to the righteousnesses of man. Yes, I know there are leaders in the church who have suffered a great deal. And yes, the scripture speaks of us completing the suffering of Christ, but you still cannot pay the price, because the price has to be paid in the spirit of holiness. That is inherently not of us, because holiness is an attribute of God and God alone. Do you understand that? Romans chapter 1 verse 3 and 4, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in the spirit of holiness. Now which one of us has the spirit of holiness in and of ourselves to pay the price? You don't. Yes, you can die. Yes, you can suffer. Yes, but you cannot manifest that spirit of holiness. That is inherent to God. That is inherent to Christ Jesus, because he manifested it through the cross. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we are exempt from suffering and all that. Yes, we do suffer. Yes, we do. It costs us to be Christians. But you cannot pay the price, because price implies ownership. We are stewards. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. In everything, that he will be preeminent. Man cannot be preeminent. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And only the word of Christ can reveal that fullness to us. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through him, through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So how powerful is the reality of Christ? So what is the church charged to do with the word of Christ? To use it to fill all things. That our understanding of the word of God must manifest the word of Christ. Must manifest as the word of Christ for anything of the blessings and promises of God to begin to manifest creatively in the church of Jesus Christ. Otherwise it won't work. 2,000 years have gone by. We've tried every form of it and every kind of it. The simple fact that we can't see revival on a sustained basis tells us that we are getting in the way of God, isn't it? If God says in his word that the Holy Spirit is to be in you forever, revival is meant to be in us forever. How else are we going to be manifested in the heavenly places, guys? How else are we going to become morning stars? How else are we going to be able to function as sons of God? Your descendants will be like the stars in the heavens. If you look at the sun, the physical sun, it is a cauldron of fire, isn't it? Isn't that an awesome picture of revival? And if we are called to be morning stars, what is God talking about that revival that is meant to manifest within us in Christ Jesus? Can you catch the picture? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus in your heart and my heart, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of him and not of ourselves. So what is the great promise of eternal life? That we will live in and by and through God. That we will enjoy the excellencies of our God. That we will be enamored by his awesome wonders. That we will be completely consumed by the awesomeness of his being. Yeah. Why? Because it will be revealed from inside of us. How exciting that will be. Amen. I hope you're excited. If you're excited, then you have heard the word of Christ. Praise the Lord. Shall we break bread? Luke chapter 22. I love this passage of scripture. Verse 14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. See, he gave us all a position. We don't deserve it, but it's given to us. In Ephesians, it is written that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Based on what? Based on the price Jesus Christ paid for us. Based on the reality of this Passover that stands in his faith and his love, in his character and his nature. All things are possible to you and me because we are to be strengthened in Christ. Amen. And he said to them, I have fervently desired, earnestly desired in the New American Standard, fervently desired in the New King James. I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The word of Christ given to us as a Passover. A word of Christ because Christ was crucified. And this Passover manifests through the word of Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover, because this Passover is entirely written in the word of Christ. So if you went back to the Jewish feast, you will find that the Passover was entirely about sacrifice. You will find out that everything in the calendar of the Jews in 50-year cycles was entirely based on sacrifice. Entirely based on sacrifice. Even Pentecost was based on sacrifice. Even the Feast of the Trumpets, which speaks about the prophetic moves of God, was based on sacrifice. Judgment for those who reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but blessing upon blessing for those who accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is to put the prophetic word in its right perspective. There is prophetic word in this book that is utterly destructive. There is prophetic word in this book that is full of the love of God. There is prophetic word in this book that is full of the wrath of God. There is prophetic word that is full of the mercy and forgiveness of God. So on the cross, you see two sides of the cross. One side is mercy and grace upon grace and love and healing and forgiveness. And the other side is judgment. Because God will judge the nations based on the cross. So in this cross, there is a Passover. In this cross, there is also judgment. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. See, everything in the word of God is about fulfillment. And the reason why it is fulfillment is because this entire book can be expounded to you in the word of Christ. And you are called to understand it in the word of Christ. Not understand it by law, guys. Thou shalt not steal is translated in the nature and character of Jesus. You will never steal, because the nature and character of Jesus will have no desire to steal. That is what you got to understand. That's what the word of Christ brings to you. It is not that it's rejecting the law. It is bringing you the law in its fulfilled realities through Christ, through his nature, through his character, through his witness, through his testimony, through his spirit, through his life. And so you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That is the fulfillment of the law. Through Christ who strengthens us, we will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And our heart will know it. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Share what, brethren? Share the word of Christ that you have received. That word of Christ makes the witness inside of you full of life. You have a gospel worth sharing. You have a testimony of God having worked something in your life that is worth sharing with somebody else. You don't have to market the gospel. You don't have to cook up stuff. You just need to understand the amazing reality of the mercy and grace of God in your specific life. You have a message. You have a testimony. You are an epistle of Christ. You are the letter of Christ. Written not with ink, but written with the spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. You have a story to tell. One day that story will shine out of your heart like light. And nations will walk in that light. Nations will live by that light that manifests from your heart, in and by and through the name of Jesus. Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Praise the Lord. You are designed to bring forth the kingdom of God, to demonstrate the awesomeness of the blessings that stand in the kingdom of God. You're designed for that. Do you understand that the word of Christ is saying that God can manifest the word of Christ inside of you and enable you to become an entirely new creation? Don't try so hard. Learn to receive. But you must want the change. So many people don't want the change. It's so sad. They rather live in their sorrow and their misery. That's the sad thing. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the reality of his body, we become a temple, isn't it? So what did Jesus say in John chapter 2, verse 19, 20, and 21? He said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews turned around and said, "How the dickens do you mean to build this temple in 3 days when it took 46 years to build this temple?" And then in verse 21 it is said, well, Jesus was talking about his body. We are members of his body. We are members one of another. It is the word of Christ that is going to build this body. It's going to create this house. This house is being built in the heavenly places. Why does he say do this in remembrance? Because you function in this house based on remembrance. Everything. I believe one day we will travel at the speed of thought, provided our thoughts are in line with God's thoughts. That's why the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If the testimony of Jesus becomes a witness alive in us, we are alive to God at the speed of thought. Why else did God build the vastness of this universe? How are we going to travel in it? How are these planets going to be habitable? In the glory of God. And we will transcend the universe. In the transcendence of our God. Amen. God is light. Very powerful, guys. Huh? But that light is given to you in the face of Jesus Christ. And your heart is designed for it. And in the same way, he took the cup. And after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The word of Christ says that everything God has given you, he has given you by oath of covenant through Christ who shed his blood for you. For no one else but you and me. The blood of Christ belongs to us. And God has sworn an oath in that blood that is to be built into your heart and my heart. As a living witness so that we can function by God in the merits of the Lamb at all times. Even when you fail him. The covenant in blood deals with our sin. The covenant in blood deals with our guilt. The covenant in blood deals with our iniquities, habitual, deliberate sin. There are solutions for all that in the blood of the Lamb. So if you go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, the first facet of the celebration of Holy Communion is with the forgiveness of sins. And in Matthew, it is presented entirely from that point of view. Christ crucified. But Christ was crucified with a purpose, that Christ will be glorified. In your heart and my heart. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what communion is structured on. Revealing the mystery. And he says, "Remember me." Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that this Passover is entirely structured in the word of Christ. This Passover stands in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. This Passover is designed to manifest each and every one of us as members of the body of Christ. blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And all of this reality of us being unveiled in the heavenly places is defined in the word of Christ. Defined, O God, in the merits of the Lamb. Defined in resurrection power, released to us because Christ was crucified. And so we are grateful, Lord, that we are able to partake of this Holy Communion in a celebration. In a celebration of grace upon grace. In a celebration of mercy. In a celebration, O God, of your forgiveness. In the celebration, O God, of the faith and love of Jesus that has been given to us through the cross. Christ gives expression to the faith and love that is able to make us a holy people. Make us a people with a heart that belongs to you, Father. And this is a creative work. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. And that's why we celebrate this covenant, O God. Because this covenant stands in blood. This covenant stands guaranteed in the substance represented by bread. The bread of the holy and the bread of the most holy. And we will become a holy people. And the witness in blood will enable us to function in holiness by the Spirit in Jesus' name. So that we will be always before you, holy and blameless. And all this will be a celebration of the glory of your grace. Because you would have brought forth something from us that we would entirely have no capacity to perform of ourselves. And for all this we are grateful. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine. That the prophetic that stands in the word of God by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus will be released to us, O God. So that, Lord, we will come forth through the word of Christ to stand in the heavenly places as morning stars, sons blessed by you, both male and female. A royal priesthood, Father, a holy people, a prophetic people, O God, a people of promise. Having the reality of Jesus Christ in our hearts in such awesome wonder that we will bless nations, O God. We want to thank you and bless you for this awesome destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. It is that realization of grace and truth that we seek, O God. That realization in substance, the bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy. So that we will become a holy people as you create in us, O God, that heart that is a clean heart, a pure heart. A heart in conformance to Christ Jesus. That the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus will be released into this heart through revelation knowledge. That revelation knowledge will be of the substance of the Master's fullness. And that revelation knowledge will manifest, O God, in a glorious light that will enable us to shine with the glory of the risen Christ. Because, O Lord, it is written in your word that he is our inheritance and he is our possession. That our hearts are meant to truly, O God, hold the witness and testimony of Jesus. So this heart of flesh, we ask that your Holy Spirit will circumcise and remove from us, O God, every system of the fallen flesh of man that so constrains us, O God, and so stumbles us, O God. We pray that we will glory in Christ Jesus because Christ in us is the hope of glory, Lord. We want to thank you and we want to bless you for this reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the cup poured out for us in a living witness in spirit, water, and blood, the witness of the cross, the witness true and faithful, the beginning of the creation of God, the amen of your will. This witness is meant to unfold and be developed in each one of us through the word of Christ. This witness is meant to be a living, practical expression of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that we will shine with the glory of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. For your holy word, We thank you that it is your intention to perform your word in our lives. And because you are willing to do so, Lord, all things are possible to us. We ask you to change our hearts. We ask you to remove from us the stubborn way, the way of the flesh, the ways of fallen man, the ways that are defined in the spirit of the world, the ways that are defined in the root that is the love of money. We pray that you will remove this false way from within us and enable us to understand that true wealth and prosperity flows out of a heart of flesh that is of the substance of the Master's fullness. Bless us, O God, in the word of Christ, and enable us, O God, to express the word of Christ. We ask you, O God, to enable us, O God, and to inspire us, Holy Spirit, so that we will use the tool that you have given us, which is the ability to speak in tongues, so that we can realize the mysteries of your word, the mysteries of Christ, the mysteries of your gospel, O God, the mysteries of faith, O God, the mysteries of your will, the mystery, O God, of godliness, and enable us, O God, to become the blessing you want us to be. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Please stand. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, and grow in you. May you truly know and understand the ways of the Lord your God. May you truly understand and know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that will make the ways of God alive to you in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. May you discover the word of Christ, and may the word of Christ richly dwell in you, bringing into you the riches of the glory of the living God, the knowledge of him, the wisdom, the understanding of his heart, so that you will truly be blessed to be a blessing. So arise, brethren, go forth. Go forth without fear. Go forth in the confidence that you are overshadowed by the Almighty. Go forth in the confidence that there is a growing Passover that the Lord your God has planned for fulfillment in your life. Arise and go forth. Go forth, take hold of the promises of God. Go forth and take hold of the promises of God in the merits of the Lamb. Arise in Jesus' name. Be a blessing whenever you have the opportunity to be one, so that the Father in heaven will take pleasure at your life. Go forth, brethren, be blessed, and be a blessing always in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.